Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 93. And I'm not going to be preaching out of Psalm 93 here this morning directly, but I think it presents a bit of a foundation or a schematic for where we do want to go this morning. And where we will be going is continuing or wrapping up that series that was done on parenting. So if you can think back a month or so, we spoke about the discipline of discipline. We looked at God's design for the home. We looked at the importance of teaching and instruction in the home. And this morning, we want to look at honor. We want to look at honor. Psalm 93 establishes the majesty of the Lord, the greatness of who he is, the great works and the power and his sovereign rule. But it says something very interesting. I want to draw your attention just to verse 5 as we set a little bit of the direction here this morning. Verse 5 says, and it's written as a statement of fact, your testimonies are fully confirmed. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. Your testimonies are fully confirmed. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. And what we see in here is two things. First, God's word is 100% true and 100% relevant at all times, in all seasons, for all days. Your testimonies are fully confirmed. And fully confirmed comes from two Hebrew words. One speaking of abundance and the forceful nature of that which comes abundantly. It speaks of greatness, and it applies it to that which is confirmed in the Word of God, and in other words, what is established by the Word of God, what produces that firm foundation in our lives, that steadfastness, that which we can stand immovably upon, that which we base our assurance in. That is what these two Hebrew words speak of, and the author, which we know is the Holy Spirit who speaks through his servants, gives us this in the perfect tense, which means it is not waiting to come to fruition, but it is fully understood and fully known, and not in some way that expires, but it will always continue to be fully known and fully standing. That's what we learn from in the perfect tense. The second thing verse 5 tells us, not only is God's word 100% true and 100% relevant, but holiness. Holiness is at the heart of God's character. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 6, it reads, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holiness befits his house. And maybe that's a bit of a strange word in our current culture. But to befit speaks of suitability. Holiness is suitable in God's house, at home. Holiness is beautiful in relation to God and what God expects in regards to who he is and in regards to behavioral things and character. The psalmist is reminding us that what is perfect and pure, what is true, is the resonation and the aroma of God. And in thinking about that, in thinking about what that verse details towards us, honor becomes extremely important. And rightly understanding what honor means, it's not just an escapade we go on so that we can somehow be known selfishly or pridefully. But what truly is honor then, and what is honorable? What constitutes as honor? And understanding this becomes a necessity as servants of the Most High God. And we want to look at honor here this morning. We want to look at holiness that befits his house, that which is confirmed truly and perfectly by the Word of God. And to do that, we want to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll bounce around a little bit here this morning, but let us commit this time to the Lord. Dear Lord, I just thank you for your goodness towards us. I thank you for the many testimonies we're able to hear this morning through Anthony, through Mike and Carolyn Reimer as well in Sunday school. Lord, it reminds us that you are a mighty God that is at work. Our world can become so small and we can become so short-sighted if we let it, just coming here to Grunthal EBC, residing in Grunthal, just enjoying the pleasures that you have blessed us with around us. But Lord, help us to have open eyes. Help us to have open hearts. Lord, help us to have open pockets. Your work is what we need to be interested in. Not our lives, not our lifestyles, as much as what is indeed befitting in your house. And may our lives be abundantly pleasing unto you as we submit ourselves to live honorably under your command, obediently to that which you have called us to. And so, Lord, I ask this morning that you would soften our hearts, that you would open up our ears, that you would give our minds understanding, that we would be sanctified, sanctified by the reading and the study of your word here this morning, that we would be able to go out from here and be the hands and feet of the gospel. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3 will be our passage that we will be jumping in and out of here this morning. And I thought, you can't do a parenting series without nailing the children a little bit. By the way, we're all children of someone, or you wouldn't be here. I was joking with some of the other pastors as they were asking what I was preaching on this Sunday, and I told them on honoring your father and your mother. And so I somewhat expected that they would send all the children from their congregations here this morning, and you'd be surrounded by a sea of children as the parents took that break back in their home churches, and we instructed them to honor their parents. But we are yet alone to some degree. Ephesians 6, 1 to 3, children. So all children should be looking up right about now. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Verse 3 gives us that promise. So that it may be well with you. In other words, that your parents won't kill you. And that you may live long on the earth, that you may know the blessing and the goodness of our Lord and Savior. Children, obey your parents. Now, I want to start off by just creating some parameters around the nature of a passage like this. That's the same parameters that come around what we find preceding this in Ephesians chapter 5, where it says wives are to be subject to their own husbands. This isn't just blind submission. This isn't, no matter what your parents tell you, whatever it is, you must indeed be obedient to and do, even if it transgresses that which God has called you to do. No, this sits as a lesser command underneath the greater command, that of following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his word. And the passage is, in fact, quite clear on that, as Ephesians 5 is as well. It says, children, obey your parents, and here comes the caveat or the disclaimer, in the Lord. In the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. We're going to talk a little bit about the parents in a bit as well here. But right now, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord is the definer of our obedience. We need to be respectful in all our actions, and we can indeed actually be respectful even when we can't comply, or even in a disagreement in regards to what truth is, we still are called to be respectful. In fact, that is a command that is given in the scriptures, which encompasses all of humanity. In fact, even within the church, The leadership in the church is to deal with individuals humbly and gently as they fulfill that which God has called them to fulfill. And children, you are called to be obedient to your parents in the Lord. It's not optional, by the way. It's not something that one day you'll just grow into, as seems to be a little bit of our custom. And we looked at this when we talked about the discipline of discipline. I think lots of parents are just content, or maybe they feel overwhelmed or pressed into this idea that children one day will just grow up and then life will be better. Then they will honor us. It's just a phase they're going through. No, no, no. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Don't wait till you're adolescents. Don't wait till you're teens. Don't wait till young adulthood. Obey your parents in the Lord today. And maybe your parents are thinking even as far back as yesterday. Do it already. Obey your parents in the Lord. Well, linked to this verse, and we didn't read it, we find it in verse 4, the responsibility. And we talked about this extensively a number of weeks back, the importance of right parental instruction. But verse 4 here in 6 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger," speaking more to their responsibility to lead and set a right godly example before their children, "but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Children, obey your parents in the Lord. How do you know that? Because your parents have a job and a duty to instruct you and to discipline or correct you in the Lord. It should be obvious what is expected of you in a godly home in regards to your obedience as children and in regards to your responsibility then to honor your father and your mother, because your parents have a responsibility to rightly instruct you. Now, this doesn't mean that children are somehow ignorant or to remain ignorant of personal Bible study or reading or applying the scriptures or the things that they hear through youth or from other friends or whatnot. Children have a responsibility to obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, it says. This is true. This is factual. This is an objective reality. It is not just culturally relative to certain situations. In fact, I think it's worth noting that Paul, as he writes this letter, if we go all the way back to Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, an apostle of Christ Jesus, not Paul just flaunting his authority over the church, but drawing us in to recognize that Paul is not speaking on his own behalf, but Paul as an apostle is a messenger of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that every word, every jot, every tittle, everything that comes after this opening statement is not Paul's ideology, but that of God himself. An apostle, a messenger of Christ Jesus, appointed for this. By the will of God, it says, to the saints who are at Ephesus, to the Ephesian church. Phew, children, obey your parents is only for Ephesians. And I didn't grow up in Ephesus. Wrong. And who are faithful in Christ Jesus. This is what a faithful home in Christ Jesus looks like. This is what it looks like to rightly handle and steward the graces and the gifts of God, the knowledge of a Redeemer and those who are redeemed, to work out our faith, to live a sanctified life. This is what you need to be doing. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, look at verse 2 here. Honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. Well, this should provoke the question, what is honor? What does that actually look like? What is my responsibility here? What is the limitations of this? I know every kid thinks about this. So how much can I get away with? And that's what you're thinking when it says, what is honor, or when I ask this question, or when the text tells us that we're to honor our father and our mother. Well, what is far enough when it comes to being honorable? Because I've got things I want to do. I'm a child, I have aspirations, I have my own joys and pleasures and things that I need to do, things of great importance. So what is honor? What is honor? Well, honor is a high reverence or a high degree of respect that is presented towards another. In fact, honor isn't just what we give to another, but it is a recognition of another's position. It esteems another. To esteem another is to recognize the highness of another, not highness as in king and queen, but the position that they have, the maturity that they have, what we can learn, the wisdom that they have. This is what this Greek word tima means, to show great reverence towards, to esteem another. And Ephesians 6:2 here presents this command. Yes, it's a command, it is an imperative. In the present tense, you are to do this and to be doing this. And it presents it in the active tense. You're not supposed to just sit back and say, whew, the Holy Spirit will look after that in my life. He will urge you. And he will convict you. But you have a responsibility to actively, it's not even written in the middle voice, as if it's some kind of partnership, to actively honor your father and your mother. This is responsibility to those who are in Christ. Honor, show reverence towards, esteem. Well, what further can we learn from that? Matthew chapter 15, verse 7 to 9, and Jesus is speaking with the Pharisees. And if we actually jump back a little bit, for God said in verse 4, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father and mother is to be put to death, and we'll get to that a little later. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or his mother. This is what is going around in Israel, that, oh, I can't honor or look after my parents, esteem them, show reverence, because I've given everything I have to the Lord. Jesus responds to them. Verse 7. You hypocrites. Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. This passage informs us a great deal in regards to what Ephesians 6 is talking about, in regards to what is expected of this reverence and of this esteem regarding honor. Matthew tells us that honor is that which is commanded by God, not created by religion. Honor is that which is commanded by God, not created by religion. It's not something that we conjure up on our own and say, good enough, well done. It's that which God defines. Secondly, it is that which goes deeper than the surface. Honor is not just blind compliance. Honor is not just, I will bide my time with my parents until one day I can finally escape this dungeon and get out of here. I will honor my parents because it goes easier on my hide. That's not why we're supposed to honor our parents. Honor consists of what and who we are. This is what Jesus is teaching to the religious leaders of Israel. It's what we need to learn here this morning. That honor consists of what and who we are. And if we truly want to be obedient as children to the command that is given in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2, we need to understand this. Honor consists of what and who we are. Honor is present when we're apart from our parents. Honor is present when we're with that certain group of friends regarding our parents. Honor is that which governs our thoughts and our thinking, that we don't allow ourselves to spin out of control, manifesting this ideology that our parents are tyrannical, that we live somehow in this communist country known as my home. Honor governs our thoughts. Honor is not just what we can get away with. Honor is to be consistent with our heart. And that's exactly why Jesus in Matthew 15 says, "You hypocrites! You hypocrites!" And he's calling them hypocrites not in regards primarily to their honoring of their parents, but in their failure to honor God by honoring their parents. And you might think, but they gave everything to the Lord. That's not what God asked. God isn't some poor guy on the street corner that needs your tithe. God requires that we walk justly, humbly, and obedient with him. Micah 6 tells us that, verse 8. God doesn't need our money. God doesn't need fancy temples. He doesn't need church attendance. He's not a Greek God. The more you pray to him, the powerful he is. God wants obedience. And when we fail in this area, we too fall underneath verse 7. You hypocrites. You hypocrites. You come into my presence, you pray, you ask for blessing, and yet you dishonor me in your obedience to that which I've commanded you. This is the Son of God saying this. Honor is to be consistent with our heart. It's not excused by outside parameters or redefined by inward thinking. Honor consists of what and who we are. Ephesians 6:2 tells us both to honor our father and to honor our mother. Now, there's something else that's interesting about verse 2 here. If Paul's being honest, he didn't just come up with this on his own. You notice in your Bible, it's written in italics, and it's written in italics for a reason. Honor your father and mother so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Paul is quoting the Old Testament. In fact, Paul is quoting specifically Exodus chapter 20. What's in Exodus chapter 20? Anybody? The Ten Commandments. You're absolutely right. So why would we read this verse without first reflecting on the Ten Commandments and where this verse and this command finds itself in relationship with the other commandments? Turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, you will find this commandment to honor. But look what it says first. And the Ten Commandments are progressively written. It's important that we understand them progressively as well. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. Do you have other gods in your life? You shall have no other gods before me. This commandment is to remind us that God is over all things. He is over our whole life. He is the supreme one, the only one. There is no other. The second command You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven. The first is that God is over all things, and that God can't be replaced by anything within creation is the second command. Is there something in God's created order, not just that which governs creation, but within creation, that you have given a wrong place in your life? Because that's an idol. That's an idol. A graven image. Something that God has created that has taken the place and the position that God is to have in your life. The third command. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. This speaks of our heart. This speaks of honor. This speaks of that true reverence and that esteeming of God himself. Do not take his name in vain. And you say, well, I don't swear or curse or any of those sorts of things. I have a pure mouth. I think it's taking the Lord's name in vain when we sing praises out of the mouth and our actions do completely the opposite thing. That we say, I'm a son of the Most High, and then by our lives we bring reproach upon the Lord. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? God is over creation, and God is above everything in creation. And God demands our heart to be committed to him. And then the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Where do we find our rest? Where do we find our hope? Is it in the saints? Is it in the Lord? Do we excuse this day by other things that crouch in and replace it? Or do we use this day to remember the holiness of God, the supremacy of God, that indeed he is worthy of all honor and praise legitimately, that there is nothing in all of creation that could ever replace him, for he is the one and only God. And you know, when we live our lives rightly in those first four commandments, we come to the fifth commandment. Honor. Honor. Honor your father and your mother. Honor commanded by God to be given to our parents. The act of obedience in this command honors first God, who commanded, believe it or not, a subordinate obedience. And that's key in this passage. Honoring our parents is a subordinate command to honoring God. It is one that we recognize the authority of God over our life and we carry out in our life because we are subordinate. We are subordinate to his command, to his rule, to his authority. Well, what does subordinate mean? It means to come underneath, to walk humbly. It means to accept the position and the place that God has put us and where we stack up in regards to things. We are to honor God, our supreme goal. And in doing that, we are to be a testimony of obedience to that honor, to honor in humility what God has positioned in our lives, our parents. Our parents. And again, that overarching statement in verse 1 of chapter 6 of Ephesians, this is right. This is right. Now, it's important for us to back up a little bit here, because this verse, whether it says it directly or not, has a very, very heavy implication to parents. A very heavy implication to parents. As we've said already, Ephesians is written to the faithful believers, to the church, those who are in Christ. And so that is the premise we start with here when we read a passage like this. But just because chapter 6, verse 1, children obey your parents, doesn't mean it's introducing a new topic. The chapters, the verse points are all added to this letter afterwards for our convenience. Look at what verse 33 says. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. How are you living as a married couple? Are you living rightly before God, obediently to God, carrying out the roles and the positions God has given you within your marriage, before your children? Go back even further, verse 21, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Parents, church, we have a great responsibility. A great responsibility in our children being successful in that obedience to honor their father and their mother. We are called to live rightly as individuals before Christ, verse 21, and as individuals before each other as a married couple, as we present God in our testimony to our children. We need to live honorably. We need to be honor worthy. 5:33 goes with 6:1-3. It can't be divorced from it. And I think all too often we like to chop up our Bible and pull verses out without looking them in the right context. And the context proposes that of God-fearing parents, parents living honorably. Well, what is the biblical call to honor? What is the biblical call to honor? And the Bible says an awful lot about this, and I don't know how far we're going to get on going through all of this, but I'll give you some examples here. Go to 1 Samuel. It's better if I just read it to you instead of try to convince you of it. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Eli and his sons. Why do you kick at my sacrifices and at my offering, which I've commanded in my dwelling, and honor your sons above me by making yourselves fat with the choicest of every offering of my people Israel? Therefore, the Lord God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Those who honor God will receive honor. Those who walk worthy before their God will live an honorable life. Turn to 1 Chronicles. And if you made it to 1 Samuel, everything here on out is just moving forward. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Verse 12. David's prayer regarding the supremacy of God, the sovereignty of God. He says in verse 12, both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all, and in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Both riches and honor comes from God. It doesn't come from each other. It comes first from the throne room. From the King of Kings. Honor befits, holiness befits his house. And coming down from there, as we walk in obedience, God will honor us and we can live honorably. And we can know what true honor is. Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27:18. He who tends the fig tree will eat its fruit, and he who cares for his master will be honored. Honor comes in submission. It comes in servanthood. It doesn't come in being the top of the pile. Malachi chapter 1. Like a sword drill. Malachi chapter 1 verse 6. A son honors his father and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor, says the Lord? And if I am a master, where is my respect, says the Lord of hosts to you? O priests who despise my name, but you say, how have we despised your name? And it goes on to present all the things we place in front of God in our lives, or they placed in front of God in their lives. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. If you do not listen and if you do not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. And indeed, I've cursed them already because you are not taking it to heart. There is discipline to the nation of Israel. There's discipline. As we follow this through the New Testament, there is discipline to the believer who does not live honorably before God. John chapter 5. Verse 21. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Our responsibility in honoring God is honoring Jesus Christ. And honoring Jesus Christ is rightly heralding and understanding and living in the midst of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Rightly honoring the Son is being obedient to the command to go and make disciples, to share the gospel. That is honorable. That is honoring the Son, and that is honoring the Father. That is honor worthy. 2 Timothy 2, 20 to 22, Hebrews 3, 1 to 3, Revelation 7, 11 to 12. Those are just some of the passages that the Bible speaks on in regards to our responsibility with honor. But I think one of the clearest passages that calls us to live rightly before God and to live honorable lives is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, a verse that doesn't even mention honor. Not directly. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Two motivators for our lives to live honorably. The first, as beloved children. And if you can remember far enough back, this statement about the believer in Christ, agapeo, that word means to be loved by God. Be imitators of God. Why? Because God loves you. You're his children. He sent his Son to die for you. God loves you. You are loved by God. What more could you possibly want? And secondly, walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us. This motivation of Jesus Christ in the gospel, who came, born of the Virgin, flesh and blood, was ridiculed, beaten, and died willingly on a cross for you. Be imitators of God. Live honorably. Ephesians 6, verse 3, tells us why this is a big deal. It's not just to scare us, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. The biblical worldview is the context here. Though I have to say, even in the secular world, you just look at the family, the nuclear family structure, or even the broken family structure, and you see the consequences. The consequences in society when children don't honor their parents. The difficulties, the brokenness, how they grow up disruptive and disrupted. The consequence of dishonor is severe. Matthew 15:4 reminds us that it is death in the Old Testament. Why? Why was the consequence so severe? Why is the warning so great around this idea of honoring. I'll tell it to you quickly here. Dishonor is the root and the heart of rebellion. It is. That next generation, if it rebels against godly instruction, godly leadership, think about the fledgling state of Israel as it's growing as a nation, and this command comes, the law comes, honor your father and mother that it may go well with you, that you may live long. And then in Deuteronomy, where it talks about that a child that is dishonorable and rebellious is to be put to death. Why? Because that's the generation that will lead. And this next generation, children, you are going to replace your parents. It's just the way it works. Parents get old. One day the Lord is going to take them home. And the responsibilities of life and of the next generation is going to rest on your shoulders. It's a very big deal. Dishonor is the root of rebellion, and not against your parents, but against God ultimately. Matched with the power to corrupt God's order. The picture is of a biblical family, a child who rejects this has need to be worried. Worry of judgment and condemnation. It's no small crime to reject the ordinance of God in the family. It is not a small deal. Parents, you have a responsibility to discipline, to encourage this. This is partly why we discipline, because it's such a big deal. It ultimately boils down to authority and a willingness to submit, a test of one's heart. Proverbs chapter 30. I think it's worth reading this. Proverbs 30, verse 11. Just picture in your mind what's being said as this is penned here. There is a kind of man, this is speaking of humanity, who curses his father and does not bless his mother. There is a kind who is pure in his own eyes, yet is not washed from his filthiness. There is a kind of how lofty are his eyes, and his eyelids are raised in arrogance. There is a kind of man whose teeth are like swords and his jaw teeth like knives to devour the afflicted from the earth and the needy from among men. This is where dishonorable children end up. This is where dishonorable lives end up. This is the course of rebellion. So what's the application here? Be very afraid. No. Children, honor God through obedience by right desire, fashioning your life towards the truth. Care about the truth. Use the gifts God has given you even at your young age. Use your influence with your friends for good. Be honorable. You know, the greatest way to honor your parents is to live rightly before God in your community and amongst your friends. When your parents are not around and they hear that you've been walking and living rightly, that bears forth great fruit. Live rightly. Fashion your life rightly. Realize that honoring your parents is obedience to the command of God. It's like Joseph says in the book of Genesis when Potiphar's wife tries to corral him. How could I do this evil thing and sin against God? Fashion your life rightly, children. And parents, honor God by being honorable. not by religious works, but by heart-produced obedience, spirit-led living, and hunger for righteousness. Ephesians 4, verse 1 says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." May we live this way as a sacrifice of praise unto the Lord, that he would be exalted, for holiness befits his house. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your patience. I thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, I pray that we would reflect on our lives as parents, as children. We'd reflect on what your word has to say about parenting, the responsibility we have with our children to not just wait it out, but to actively be involved in their lives, disciplining rightly, instructing rightly, being honorable in all that we say and do, being obedient unto the Lord. And may our children, may they truly know the goodness of God as we reflect that in our lives as parents. And children, I pray that you would realize the responsibility you have even at a young age. The responsibility that you have to be obedient unto the Lord, to your parents. To honor them in your actions and in your abilities, as small or as big as they may be. That you would glorify his name in all that you say and do. And may we be heralds of the gospel as we herald rightly our family. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.